In the words of the legendary Lou Gellerman, hello, dog fans, and welcome to the Sound the Siren podcast, because everything matters, including the quack quack's doom. And coming Friday, Bowen 3, it's time once again to make the duckies bow the fuck down. I am your host, Hooligan 7. I am joined tonight by Big Hood and DJ K. Woody. How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
Oh, good, good. Just how waiting, impatiently waiting for Friday.
Ready to get some yep. duck hunting done.
Yep, I'm ready to get that. That reminds me, I'll have to. I got to edit the. Here's hoping we get to edit the NES intro and the dog giggle, for next week for next week's episode. Beverages of choice for the evening. I'll start. I do have something that was in a brown bottle. Limited edition Brew Doctor Snickerdoodle Kombucha. It's a little probiotic beverage.
Oh, my nice.
Snickerdoodle. Damn.
That sounds hella good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know me. I found that bougie shit at PCC.
Hey, come on.
Yeah.
Pinky up.
Hood, what do you got tonight, bud?
I actually have some vanilla chai tea tonight, man. You know what I'm saying? After yelling and screaming at that game, you know, I know y'all saw them sky shots, man.
I saw them, yeah. After
yelling and screaming at that game, you know, I think, you know, I have.
Including it to Ryan Grubb.
Had me a little frustrated. So I'm on some tea tonight. I do got the water next to me, too, but some vanilla chai tea that I went ahead and put a little bit of raw honey in, you know.
Yeah, so, got to.
Yeah, you got to do it. Got to take care of yourself. DJ, how about you, sir?
Oh, you know, just water tonight. As I get sick every 45 days with three kids, it's recovering from illness. So, yeah, just water.
And we'll move along into something that is a descriptor of basically anything coming out of Oregon Twitter. But let's do stupid tweets.
Go ahead, Hud. Like, I know you got...
I got two, but since I'm not gonna give, you know, some free clout to anybody, so I'm shouting out two Huskies this go around. So first one is shout out to Son of DeBoer. This has 35 bookmarks. I regret to inform Duck fans that win or lose on Friday, this thread will still be hilarious. And it is a ton of Duck fans tweeting about, you know, October 14th and, you know, their confidence in the game, et cetera. And then you just get to see some of the outlandish takes that are happening this week. And then the other one, you know, just some Husky on Husky crime here. The other one is, I think it was not out of context, that tweet or the message board genius. That tweeted, dog, man.
Yes, I saw
that. What is that padded thing underneath Mike Penix's skull cap? It's a do-rag, fella. It's a do-rag.
Oh, my goodness.
And then the people underneath it correcting them, writing D-O rag. That was
But
it's a do-rag.
they don't know.
I'm like,
I mean, and I don't mean to say it, but are we surprised at what part of the Husky media empire or the Husky media family that particular message board post came from?
We are not surprised. And I wanted it to be lighthearted, my little joke at it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's lighthearted fun. But I just wanted to, you know, no free clout this week. You know what I'm saying? So I'm Agreed. Giving it all to the Husky fans this week.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Everybody Squints has had some bangers for sure. I've seen some good ones.
Yeah, you already know.
Oh, I am going to give one little bit of free clout to a member of the Duck coaching staff, and that's Don Johnson talking about how Junior Adams should be given a Biletnikoff Award for recruiting the Husky receivers and what's happened with Troy Franklin. I think for the definitive voice, we should have reached out to Giles to see if we could have him on the podcast on the subject of Junior Adams coaching.
Did you see his follow-up with that? He talked about,
they need to get the fuck out.
Yeah, my bad. And his follow-up was, talking about coaching a white wide receiver. I don't know.
This man coached a white wide receiver. He gets more respect.
He's been riding Cooper's Cup ever since.
Yeah.
And to be honest, he gets more respect for that than he does the Rome stuff.
Yeah.
You got a white wide receiver that good? I guess so. How good, you know? That was so low, respectful.
I got too many to count. I've got a lot of bookmarks here. I'm not gonna read the tweets, but I did find one I was gonna read. I'll read it in a second, but I just want to do a shout out to all these arrogant, cocky Duck fans. It's fine. You can be confident. You're gonna win, but they're so arrogant about it. Like, how can you think otherwise that they're not going to win? All these posts, shout out to QB11, shout out to guys like Lavender Town Zero, Duck Zone Podcast, Duck Zone 503 Podcast. All these guys, I got these saved. So you better hope that you all win on Friday. But the one I did want to mention was, because I don't want to give clout again to a lot of these individual posts, but Carl Holmes Jr., he's the director of player engagement for Oregon football. He said, "I'll speak for Troy and say we're prioritizing team awards. So feel free to keep the individual accolades. Our main goal is becoming Pac-12 champions. See y'all on Friday at 5 p.m. Yeah, I mean, does he forget about all those Bo Nix Heisman billboards that the Ducks put up all over the country? Yeah. Well. Yep.
Yeah, I saw your tweet afterwards or prior. They're just mad that they're not, in contention for some of the ones that they probably should be. But I mean, you invest heavily into a singular campaign and you see what happens. You don't get any Doak Walker love, you don't get any Biletnikoff love, and that's how it go.
Yep.
You got slighted like we've been telling you we gonna be slighted, so.
Yep, and because somebody didn't just do something, one of these teams didn't do just something that hadn't happened in the entire history of this is a 12-team conference. But yeah, we're focused on the individual awards. All right, well, let's talk about what happened on Saturday before we dig into what we expect for 2 days from now, as of the night that we're recording this. Yeah. Sky Shots told the tale. I was not impressed with a lot. There were elements of very good. I loved seeing Jalen McMillan back on the field. I loved seeing him get involved early. And then we completely went away from Jalen McMillan for long stretches of the game. We completely went away from easy throws to get Mike into a rhythm. We had DJ cooking at various points. And then
on one leg,
Will Nixon, I'm pretty sure, had more carries last year than he does this year, and more touches. Papa Grubb was not in his full bag, and whichever bag he grabbed on the way out the door was not it.
It was full of peas and carrots.
Yeah. He has not been in his full bag for a while. Were any of you all nervous, that we're going to lose a game at any point?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. Were you, Hud?
That's tough. You have the understanding that, they pull these games out. But there was a weird tone and feel to it. I'm not going to say those boys didn't want to be there. But in some of the other games, you saw the fight. In Oregon State, it was we're going to fight. In Arizona State, it was we're going to XYZ, we're going to fight. The Wazoo game just seemed they were damn, how long? But they took a sigh of relief, damn, how long is this going to keep happening? And I saw the first kind of deep breath, like, why is it the refs? Like, why is it our offense? Like, why is it our defense? Like, why is it our coach? Why is it? You kind of saw them kind of their body language, kind of feel it. I was pointing to when they came out the locker room, I was like, they were getting ready to get into the, you know, the stretching lines and stuff, and everybody was dead. Like, they weren't hyped. Yeah, I like mentioned it to you guys. Like, they weren't hyped yep. while Wazoo was over there dancing and all types of stuff. Then once that portion was over, the stadium played a song to get, you know, fans up and stuff like that. And then our sideline wasn't dancing. They wasn't swinging towels while Wazoo's sideline is like full on dancing. And so it just seemed like it was like, you know, I wanted to call out of work today, but, you know, I ain't got no sick time. So.
It's a good analogy. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, how many opportunities did we have to put that up, to go up two scores, that by play calling or by, you know, a miss from Mike or whatever the case may be, that where it could have been an entire, like, that game could have gotten out of hand and been, mm-hmm. we could have been coasting through that second half pretty easily. Multiple times, like the first one was the Thaddeus Dixon interception where we failed to score, and I think shortly thereafter was the touchdown at the end of the half that EJ gave up. Again, and by no means is Coach Grubb the only one who's got an eyebrow raised in his direction in terms of some mm-hmm. of the play calling and why we were playing press in that situation is.
Mm-hmm.
Not ideal.
Yeah,
but, you know, there was that the Mikel Lestien interception on the tip momentum where we were, I think at the time we were up 20, we were, I think it was still 21-14. There's another opportunity to stretch it to a 28-14 game. So many opportunities.
Or at least a field goal, two score game. But yeah, they didn't.
Yep.
There's just like nobody in rhythm. And one of the things is I was like, man, I think Rome deserves to be the MVP. Of this season, oh, for sure. Yeah.
He's carrying us absolutely. On offense, it seems like.
I mean, I tweeted it, I think, a week and a half or so ago. But, like, for my money, our Heisman candidate is Rome Odunze.
Yeah, I'm with you there. He's been great every game. He's kept us in a lot of games. Talking about what Hood was saying, like, there was, like, little fight or no fight almost. Second half, the offense seemed to not – care. Like, I know a lot of it was scheme and play calling and things like that, but we weren't pushing guys off the line really like we should have been. We gave up a sack or two, I think, in the second half, maybe. And at least one at the last drive. A couple guys on defense showed stuff like, obviously, Bruner, like, he just balling, going 100 every play. A couple D linemen are out there. Esteen was doing well. So there's a few guys on defense, but on offense, like, they were just going through the motions, and you know, mm-hmm. the motions weren't good because the play calling. The motions didn't exist
because we weren't getting into that bag to really, like, there were times that we were doing it where we were putting the Cougars in purple, and then we'd have a throw outside the hashes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know.
Like, yeah. Mike is 1,000% a rhythm quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, early in the season, I remember there was a segment they had, I believe it was on ESPN, where you know, some former quarterback was analyzing his play, and they were like, oh, he gets the ball out under 3 seconds every play. Look at this. And he's like, catch the ball, couple steps, hitch, boom, ball out. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the receivers are still getting as open early. You know what I mean? But do they know if the ball is going to be accurate? You know, I went back, and obviously being at the game, you don't hear the announcers in the play-by-play. But a lot of them were actually mentioning it, which I appreciated. They were like, hey, you know, in the second half of the season, the inaccuracies are coming from him relying on his arm strength more so than, like, his rhythm or his footwork. And that's why you're seeing a lot of balls kind of airmail. You know, they're going high or, you know, above the face mask, those types of things. So, for sure, man. I feel like, you guys are saying, definitely going through the motions. All the offense was I really, you know, outside, obviously, the bonehead play at half, man, like, I think I'm very, very impressed by our defense. I think one thing that's going to be surprising on Friday is, you know, the improvement of that side of the ball. We're going to really have to highlight, you know, as much as it's won us a bunch of these games in the last 2 years, it's more so the offense that we're going to be looking forward to righting the ship.
Yeah, the defense has won us probably three games. Arizona State game, obviously, like you can probably say this game, and then maybe Oregon Utah. State. Or, yeah, Utah too,
I guess. Utah for damn sure.
Three or four games then.
Right. Yeah. And then, obviously, like, the USC game was a little, like, high in points, but fourth quarter, they shut stuff down. You know, you obviously got to think about that ZTF play at half, you know, get you seven. So, defense played a major factor there.
Yeah. The question I asked you guys, like, if you guys felt we were going to lose, like, I was, like, pretty calm. I was watching from home. It's pretty calm, except besides that, as Hood knows, me and him a little disagreement on this, but like that play call on defense that gave up that touchdown before the end of the half, I was livid during that. Then after that, I was pretty calm, but like it was like I was thinking of the Michael Scott snip snap at the very end of the game. I was like going back and forth of us like, okay, we're gonna win. Oh wait, shit, we're not gonna win. Like when they got the ball, like when we got that penalty on the field goal and then they ended up scoring, it was like, I think we might lose.
Yeah, that was odd. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when they got the ball back so the last time, I was like, yeah, they're going to score, and they're probably not going to leave any time on the clock, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown. And then when we got the ball back, I'm like, okay, we'll win. But then got the fourth down, I was like, okay, never mind. Yeah, it was just a lot of back and forth for me. But that play call on fourth and one was absolutely insane. I can't believe we did that.
This staff and these players are really good at playing the moment. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if it's fourth and one, there's almost like no doubt. If somebody's kicking a field goal, there's almost like no doubt that they're going to either like miss or something's going to happen. Like, there's just some element this year where, I don't know if it's, you know, what the young people call manifestation or whatever it is, but there is some element, like even on that third down play where I think it might have been third and long, Wazoo's last possession of the game, where Cam Ward could easily run for the first down. And that's something that he would have done 9 times out of 10. But what we did was we're the best team in the conference. There's a lot of stakes on this play. There's a lot of stakes in this moment. And it was just another moment that we won, you know, so I think we have a huge benefit of winning these one possession games or USC by 10, but super tight the whole game is where we have a lot of practice winning the moments. So that's where it's tough for me to be like, I'm nervous or scared or nervous or, you know, because the moment kind of always favors us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Oregon hasn't had those games except for against us, really. I mean, against a little bit Texas Tech. And so we are more battle tested especially when it comes into the game of a close game. I mean, it doesn't guarantee anything, but it just experience can usually show out.
But it matters. Situations.
Yeah, it definitely matters.
I mean, both of the two losses last year were by a touchdown. Like, and we did everything that we could have easily been blown out in both of those games. Given some of the
40-16 versus UCLA.
Right.
That's right.
But this team shows up and I think, I know that I saw the tweet earlier this week that like at no point this season has Washington's trailed by more than 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
7 of the games we haven't trailed at all.
Mm-hmm. But somehow it's going to be a massacre anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
when we're the healthiest we've been, and I will say, it's a bold, you know, to quote Dodgeball, it's a bold strategy, Cotton, for Brandon Dorlus to get on the mic and say something about wanting to injure Mike, because
karma's
gonna be served when Parker buries his ass.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think we're all gonna be pointing to him getting his ass whooped for sure. Yeah, I mean, I was a little taken aback about how, you know, there was a lot of deflection amongst obviously, you know, their fans and stuff. Like, it's like at the end of the day, you can admit, and I appreciate there's a specific person, I'm not going to call the person out, but there's a singular person that, you know, in DM definitely mentioned that it was foolish to say, you know what I mean? So I appreciate that person for mentioning that, but it was definitely foolish to say. And now you can always, you know, support your team and then say, hey man, like, that's not cool, but you know, obviously this is what you probably wanted to say, or this is how you might have meant to say this, or this, that, and the other, but we're not rooting for, you know, we're rooting for a good game. We're not rooting for Mike to get hurt. Like, it could be, it's real easy to kind of, you know, not necessarily take the high road, but just be a normal human. You know, you don't have to defend everything that's said out of these players' mouths. I'm not expecting
that's what they do, though.
That's what they do. They stick to script. Like I said,
everything.
They are the stick to script.
The propaganda machine.
Yeah.
Propaganda machine. Just stick to the script.
I won't feel bad at all, particularly given some of the shenanigans by their players at certain point, critical moments in games. If there's an Oregon player down on the field and turns out they're not faking it. I'm not going to feel that bad for them. I'm going to be rooting for injuries, but.
You're playing quite the position to be talking. You know what I mean? Where you can get hit from the left and the right, you know, when you make a spin or when you try to swim or, you know,
against one of the best offensive lines in the country.
In the country. You know, you have a defense that has no problem bringing three. So, you know, I got two free linemen that can, you know, light your ass up, you know, while you think you got this free rush or you got some easy money. So, that's a tough position to be talking trash. I respect Brandon Dorlis, you know, his career.
He's a good player.
Good player, yeah. The work he put in. Really love this is going to be good on good in the trenches. You know, one thing I was going to kind of talk about, you know, on the TL today, but I'll push off is just, you know, this is just an NFL films game. You know, a lot of guys that are cusp players, you know, for the draft, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, potentially undrafted guys are going to have an opportunity for good on good. You know, on the offensive line, guys like Nate, guys like Julius, you know, even a guy like Roger could be able to work himself into a day one conversation this year or next year. So a guy like Don Hampton. So, yeah.
Yep.
Guys on both teams, both sides of the ball. There's NFL talent all over.
And we were speaking to, you know, just kind of some of these variables in the game. And, you know, one of the things that made the first game awesome was the fact the refs stay out of it. You know, they didn't call DPIs much. They didn't call OPIs. They didn't call a bunch of holdings. They didn't call a bunch of defense holdings. They just stayed out of the game. And, you know, we don't need any, you know, somebody is unabated to the quarterback and Mike throws the ball away to protect himself and it's intentional grounding. I mean, we don't need any of those type of
blunders. We don't need one final gift of Pac-12 officiating. I will say on the topic of what you were talking about earlier is we're kind of segued a little bit into the game preview, but talking a little bit more about another one who had a man-sized game and had been playing like a monster for the last 6 weeks. And speaking of, you know, all the hype that QB11 and Doug were trying to bring about Jordan Burch against Oregon State, I'm like, who else had a really good game against Oregon State? Who else has been much better consistently for the last 2 years, and that's one Braylon Trice. He's coming for he's gonna cause some problems. And as will Jacob Lane, as will ZTF, they're gonna have some, you know, I mean, obviously Bo gets the ball out very, very quick because most of the time it's not traveling very far and near. So open field tackling is obviously gonna be at a premium. But
on both sides,
Braylon had a huge impact in the Apple Cup that can't be understated.
And he wasn't playing his best ball earlier in the year when we were playing Oregon. And, you know, that's going to be huge, him playing to his potential as he has been lately. So, yeah. And Lance Holzclaw, I know that. So, like that sack he had last week. And, put him out when it's 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12. Just let him go headhunting. Not hurting Knicks. Sorry, Dorlis, we're not out to hurt Knicks, but you know, go after him and get that sack because that was awesome seeing him get that sack last week against WSU. Against Cam Ward. That's not easy. That guy can move.
Cam was making a move at the same time too, and he while he was breaking down, cut at an angle. So that was a tough sack for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
So your point, really, man. Yeah, Braylon is going to be, you know, ever since that Stanford game when he broke the record for pressures, it's like, you know, something clicked. You know, I don't know if it was in practice or, well, I do know during Stanford week, was when I started to hear like, oh, this is the toughest practices we've had all year. And then the next week, toughest practice. So they did start getting significantly more physical in practice in the trenches. So that might have really benefited Braylon, getting to see some good on goods versus our tackles. So, yeah, ever since that Stanford game, he's really turned it on, has been the best edge rusher in the country since that Stanford game. And, yeah. You know, it's as much as I like, you know, a Johnny Cornelius at the next level, his potential there, you know, him and Connolly are going to have their hands full. And I think that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Hey, do you know who else has been playing pretty decent for us on the D-line? Tua Telly. He's been playing better, yeah. Better than I've seen him, I mean, the last couple of years. And so, yeah, we need that, especially with Tully not being 100%. So he's not going to be 100% this weekend either. But, yeah, it's been nice seeing him show out a little bit. And Esteen, they've both been doing well.
Agreed.
Before we, like, get into Oregon, I don't know if you guys want to talk about that more, but I just want to talk about just our 12-0 season that we had and give props to the team for that, because never been done in Pac-12 history. You know, with all, I mean, Oregon fans or maybe other teams in the conference won't admit it, but the adversity that they face, like the injuries that we've had, like I saw, what is it, the Husky podcast guy, I forgot his name.
Chess Husky fan Chess, podcast.
Yeah, Chess. Yeah. Yeah. Put out the how many injuries we've had to our 1 and 2 deeps. Like, we haven't had that many injuries in 8 years, and shows mm-hmm. the depth that we've been playing and with.
The resilience exactly. of this team.
Yeah, like it was mentioned earlier, we're battle tested. Like, we've been playing down to our competition at sometimes, it seemed like, but like we're winning all these games and we're winning these close games at the end of the game. And so, yeah, it's been a great season. And I was watching some Boise State highlights earlier and I was like, dang, this seems like forever ago, but
I know, yeah. Right?
It was only first game of the year, but
and yeah, they got a shot to win their conference.
Yeah, yep, they did. Exactly. Yeah, just going to be a super memorable season, regardless of what happens Friday or even the bowl game. Yeah, definitely not going to forget this year.
I think just absolutely. Adding to that, man, one of the coolest parts is, you know, we're losing a lot of upperclassmen and a lot of, like, draft-eligible people. And for this to be the type of leadership on a team, you know, that's essentially being passed down to the next generation of players. And obviously with those injuries, there are a lot of those next generation of players that have had to come up clutch in games, you know. So them getting that experience, them getting that, you know, clutch time experience, them getting the memorable season of 12-0 just allows them to take, you know, that chip on their shoulder going into the next year. Elevating the new guys that come in there, elevating the guys underneath them, even if they haven't necessarily played a full-time starter role, or somebody like Mikkel, you know what I mean, who's had to start 2, 3, 4 games this year and then had to go back into a rotational type of situation, then had to start again. He's going to be able to, and I think he was just mentioned by one of the staff members, as I think it's Inge, as one of the smartest guys on defense in general, his football acumen and IQ. So guys like that, you know, being able to take that in the next year or so, it's going to definitely be some real cool momentum moving on from this.
Yep.
Yeah, you said we're going to lose a lot of guys, which we are, first, second round draft picks. But as you were kind of talking about in the group chat earlier, Hood, that we're going to have a lot of guys returning. I mean, we're like, dang, who, what portal guys that we're gonna have available with scholarships, because I mean, sure, we're losing 15-17 guys, but we have 15 freshmen coming in or something like that. And yeah, we're still gonna, regardless of what Oregon fans say, we're still gonna be pretty loaded next year. Maybe not as like top end type guys that we have right now, but we're still got a lot of guys coming back, so I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, you talked about being celebratory and then just a 12-0. You know, got to shout out the staff. You know, a lot of them have heard, you know, a lot of the offensive staff, you know, specifically, I wouldn't say a lot of them, but Ryan Grubb, you know what I'm saying, has heard, you know, some things this year. You know, it hasn't been all like last year because, you know, it was more honeymoon phase, I would say, last year. You know, you're going from 4-8 to 11-2. appreciate you for the work. Oh man, you're this, you're that, your shit don't stink. And then this year, you know, we got back to the standard and elevated to the consistency of that performance. And, you know, I felt like Ryan Grubb necessarily wasn't on, you know, his best of game. But at the end of the day, you made this happen as well. Your preparation made this happen. You know, the details made this happen. You know, the work you put in, you know, and the investment you put in to yourself and to these young kids, reaped a 12-0 season on offense. Same with Inge and Morrell on the other side of the ball and the defensive staff. Same with the newly promoted general manager, Courtney Morgan now. You guys put in a lot of hard work and effort into this. The players obviously had to get out there and, you know what I'm saying, relay that message with their pads. But at the end of the day, it's celebratory all around for on-field staff, off-field staff, and the players as well. So, and their families for sure. You know, so.
Yep. A truly special season. But as UW Animal said it, we ain't done yet.
Job's not done. Job's not done.
So what do we think? What are we looking for Friday night?
I would just say in regards to not even – we'll talk about the play and everything. But I just want to see, you know, energy. You know, I want to see, you know, folks hype before the game starts, you know, warm-ups. I don't mind if they talking. You know, I don't even mind if somebody pop a tweet out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, there's nothing to lose. You know, you can get trolled for a tweet all you want to get, but, you know, you're showing up hyped and ready for the game. And then just obviously hoping that energy can channel in, you know, executing at a high level. So I would say for me, I would just look for their energy, the physicality within the play, and then a level of execution that we haven't seen, you know, since the first six games of the season. So just real general in regards to that.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that I want to see, but I just want our coaches to put the kids in position to win the game or just make plays. You know, give them the opportunity to win the game themselves. And, you know, we've been talking about Grubb and the play calling. Like, it can't be like that. We're not going to beat Oregon if the play calling's been the way it has been the last few weeks. And so just let our athletes or Rome, Jalen, Dylan, all those guys, obviously Penix, like give them opportunities to do something. And I mean, I think if that happens, like, you know, the sky's the limit with our offense. If those guys are out in the open field or catching balls, like where they have opportunities to make plays. And so, yeah, I just want to see our coaches do that, you know, on the defensive side too, making the right play calls and then letting our guys win the game.
Yep, I agree. And I think the middle of the field in this game is good. We were talking about it amongst the four of us against Washington State Hood. You and, you know, shouts to Darker Knight and JCap. Great experience attending that game with all of you. But the middle of the field, and it's going to open up the way I look at it. If you can get DJ, he doesn't have to, you know, bust out, you know, 75 yards in the first half by any stretch of the imagination. But if he has a 30 to 40 yard half and has, you know, a handful of carries that go for between 4 and 6 yards, if you can establish J-Mac as a threat in the middle of the field to getting kind of him back to what, you know, both on the perimeter, like we saw him kind of start to work into it in the first part of the game, but also get him going, you know, on some of those crossers and some more of those mesh concepts, that's going to open up so much of what we've really been relying on outside the numbers, because the Ducks are not going to be able to cheat safeties outside against JP and Rome in that situation. I also, you know, particularly, I'd love to see JP get a crucial, you know, 12, 14 yard, you know, for, you know, just a first down catch.
Yes.
Get JP back in rhythm, because he's not right now, and we need him to be. And again, one kind of final shout out. He's been the money man every time we've needed him in crunch time. Jack fucking Westover,
yeah,
sir, with catches that are not that are not on the easy scale.
Come on,
definitely, you know, Heisman mode activated. If we're going back to an NCAA football EA Sports difficulty mode setting. So shouts to Westy, and I want to see some Westy and some Dev Cult early on in this game, and make the Ducks have to think and track everyone, because that's just going to open up a lot of things for us.
Yeah, I want to say one thing about Westy. Like, that's so funny. Like the last game, I don't know if you rewatched it already. I think you did. But yeah, he got so frustrated with Penix a couple times. He's like,
both times.
He's like, I'm wide open, and then you like make it try really hard, and like one of them he could have gone to at least like the 10 or 5 yard line when he caught at the 25, or maybe even scored. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was.
Then the one across the middle was an extra like 5 to 10 if he put it on. But that may be so we made jokes, obviously, at the game. Like, and I mean, it's funny, DJ, you're going to think about it and be like, I don't remember one. But when's the last time we ran a slant? Can you remember a slant? I don't think we ran a slant all year, bro. And that's, like, one of the easiest, like, middle-of-the-field routes. And now they could be afraid that, you know, he puts a lot of mustard on the ball. So, and last year, if you kind of paid attention with Buelo and Nate at guards, he does have a low trajectory ball, you know what I'm saying? And we saw, remember when Rome was in the back of the end zone that one time and it got tipped. And then also to
Arizona Oregon, State. There was a couple times it got bad in line of scrimmage last time. Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was Arizona State last year where the ball, or Oregon State, where the ball bounces off Buelo's helmet and bounces up. So I think they're a little nervous because there's a lot of turnover worthy plays. But just as a receiver, man, and you guys are going to understand the concept. When you're getting the ball as a screen player, you're going 0 to 60 instead of catching a ball already going 30 miles an hour. Yep. So there's a difference between having to catch a slant or having to catch a curl or having to catch an out and then try to do run after catch. Outs, you're near the sideline. You got to make a move and you got a defender, the sideline. There to help or hurt. Same thing with curls. You don't see where the DB is closing at. You kind of have to guess where the DB is closing at. But to your point, Hooligan, if you're talking about mesh concepts, you're talking about slants, you're talking about those types of things, even like shallow crosses.
Yeah, crossers or drags. Yeah. We're not
shallow digs. Shallow digs, you know what I mean? Like, I saw Mike missed one to JP about 8 to 12 yards down the field, but you get them in motion when they're catching the ball. You know, it's much easier to make a play when you're moving like that. Like, so, I mean, every wide receiver will want that opportunity to be able to you know, be able to break 1 yard after catch. I made the joke, I think, that Jamarcus probably has more yards this year than the wide receiving corps.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that 92-yarder from JP.
Yeah.
Shoot.
No, he has.
Ain't really seen it.
Yeah, that middle of the field – it's so frustrating we're not using that. I mean, again, going back to like when I was watching some things from like Boise State or even like other clips earlier in the year and last year, whenever we had like first half of this year and last year, whenever we had a 2nd and 12, 3rd and 14, I'm like, we'll get the first. Like, I just had confidence and it hasn't been there. And that's because we're not using the whole field, and which we're capable of. We've shown it. So we just got to prove that again.
Piggybacking a little bit, just like you saw them mix and match the personnel that was attacking the middle of the field too. Now you did pigeonhole yourself when Jalen McMillan got hurt, so you just had Polk and Odunze on the outsides kind of taking on CB1, CB2. You didn't really have Rome moving around, you know, on switch releases or in the slots, where like last year you think JP ran a big post from the slot. JP hasn't even been able to take advantage of the middle of the field because of some of these injuries and people being out and stuff like that. So,
it's only been Westover, really. I feel like we've thrown to the middle of the field the last few weeks.
And you also got Giles coming back, too, who, you know, they're going to at least have to prepare for or be aware of being in the game, you know. So I think having all hands on deck, man, is really going to it's gonna allow the defense to be able to communicate concepts based off of formations. But they're going to be guessing based on personnel. Like, yep. It's just going to be straight guessing based on personnel. So,
particularly, and like the way I think about it with that full complement that you're talking about, Hood, is like if we can get, you know, another thing that will be a great sign for our offense, you know, throughout the game is if we can hit some kind of crosser, whether it's an in or a skinny post or something to J-Mac, where it's not just, you know, the working essentially what we had been using Jeremy a bunch on kind of those perimeter screens, but if we can get J-Mac working in the area that he was so good last year. That's going to open up some of that perimeter stuff for Jeremy, who's got the real, that different kind of athleticism to and shiftiness that, that I don't know that any other receiver that we have has the same way that, that Jeremy does.
That north and south element too. Like Giles has the same wiggle, but it's more lateral. Like Jeremy definitely just is a running back in that regard, gets upfield. Small point about the offense, man. You know, we're talking about the pass game being on point because it's not been on point. But what I will say, and this is why I haven't really talked about it much on the timeline or anything like that, is I'm really when Grubb has to play these legitimate opponents, he prepares different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we were kind of like feeling how he was preparing throughout the year. And, you know, I was making excuses at times, you know, not for certain play calls, but, you know, these guys, he didn't come back and spurn Bama to play Wazoo, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these games we just had to fight through. Games where that are, you know, where he respects the other side of the ball, the running back gets the ball 18 to 22 times. You know what I mean? So there is going to be some semblance of a running game, whether that's going to be 85 yards to 150 yards. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to run the ball effectively. Like, they ran it for 100 yards last game. I think last year Will ran for, you know, high 80s or 90s, something like that. So they're gonna run the ball effectively. So just how you can kind of impact the explosive pass game in that. They're going to have to rally to tackle. Can Dylan and not intentionally hurt people, but, you know, what does Marshawn say? You just run through a mother face. You can do it in the first quarter. You can do it in the second quarter, but can you do it in the third? Can you do it in the fourth? And I think that's something that Oregon hasn't felt all year. They haven't felt someone that hasn't backed down from their physicality. And yeah, so I think our running game is going to be very, very important, especially establishing it early.
Yeah. And on the flip side of it, it's going to be, you know, obviously critically important to not let Bucky single-handedly just run all over you. Or Jordan James, you know, tackling in space against their running backs and tackling in space against Troy Franklin and Tez Johnson and Gary Bryant is going to be, you know, huge in this game. And so it's going to be, you know, the job that EJ does, the job that Jabbar does in space, the job that Meech does in space. This is, you know, I think Meech has been kind of quiet, having needed to move around with the injuries at safety. But I think this is going to be a huge game for Meech. And honestly, I think that I don't remember whether it was you or Darker Knight that made the point that EJ is a different player in the second half.
And that's that was definitely me. He's such a mental player for sure. And then just to the end of the half, man, like there's not a DB in the world that doesn't want the opportunity like that. You know what I'm saying? So like, regardless of the call, you know, I saw the post game press conference, the weekly press conference where they were asked about it. And Inge was like, you know, people just have to remember their techniques. You know, like you have inside help, you have literally outside leverage, and you allow an outside release. So regardless of the play call, the technique of his position was not executed well. So we don't know what would have happened or if that was a good or bad call. But at the end of the day, every DB is going to want that opportunity. And Elijah isn't necessarily demonstrative, you know, with his, you know, behavior. Not super energetic, but he's definitely a different, like, a way different level of physicality in the second half of the games when it comes to tackling, when it comes to being at the line of scrimmage. So whatever the message is at halftime, he definitely hears it. Just bring that in the first quarter, because they're definitely going to, I think it was the first drive of the game where they ran like a 5-yard curl, Oregon ran a 5-yard curl. EJ comes up to tackle Troy, misses, and Troy goes off for an extra 10 yards. Same thing with Vele, you know what I'm saying, goes off for an extra 30-plus yards. That's exactly what they're going to do again. They're going to attack EJ in space. And hope that we can't rally in time. So EJ is going to have to bring it. You know what I mean? Bring his big boy pass. He big as hell. Yeah. So
how different or how much better would our defense be if we had Banks all year? Is he that much better than EJ, you think? Or he's definitely better, at least in my opinion. But
I think that it would I think it would have allowed more positional versatility. But at the end of the day, you know, the running game, you know, wouldn't have been impacted by Devon. I think when you play, you know, a teams like Wazoo and stuff like that, it benefits there. You can give people kind of breathers. And then you light a fire under people when you got somebody behind you. If EJ knows he ain't never coming out, you know, or even if Thad goes in for, you know, two quarters, he knows he's at least going to get in at some point. You know, so there's that kind of like element of like, man, I messed up, but it's cool. I'm going to be in it. Nah, when you know that you can be benched for a whole game, that's a whole different thought process. You care about your technique a little more. So I think that's where Devon would have benefited, is more so lighting that fire under EJ a little bit.
And Devon's the opposite of EJ. Like, he's out there showboating every time he every time he knocks on a pass, the whole stadium knows it.
Well, and the other element of it, and specific to this matchup where we would miss Devon, is just a flat downfield speed like that.
Yep.
Unless he gets beat on a move, they're not going to just run by Devon if Devon's at pace. That's just not.
It's so odd, Hooligan, because EJ's hella fast. He's just a long strider. So, like, it just takes a lot when he's flipping his hits to, like, catch up, you know. But his top speed, he's never let nobody run away from him. You know, like, people will catch those and he'll catch them. But he's straight line fast, but it's just, you got to stay on top of routes, play the ball. I haven't seen him, you know, we've seen Jabbar. Yeah. Have opportunities because he's playing on top of the receiver. Even in Stanford, when 13 went up and caught the ball over him, he was still on top of the route. We haven't seen EJ even have an opportunity for that, you know, because he's playing flat footed or got bad eyes or flips his hips terribly. So I just want him to be locked the hell in, man.
We need that. Yep. And his ball skills need some improvement. Whereas like Jabari, he's right there on all those plays. Even if they catch it, he's right there. But yeah, we need EJ, because we can't be letting them just do whatever they want on one side of the field.
No,
need him out there.
It's going to be another huge Carson Bruner game.
I agree.
I think he's going to make an impact in a number of different areas in this game.
This is the first time in 2 years that William Inge has played a guy like that, just let the guy go.
Where's, you know? How is he not starting all year, man? He's been good for us out there.
So look, the reason why our defense is buckled down in the fourth quarter is why. What he does is he rotates all game.
True.
So then in the fourth quarter we can play full speed. So it's like
that too.
Shit, you know. So I get it, but it's like now. You see the last 3 weeks, it's like, now, go. Like, we're good, go.
Yep, and you know what? Maybe he's the player that's ineligible, but a difference maker on our defense would be is having another edge guy, because the one position group that does get tired in the game is our edge players, because we don't have a lot of depth, and they're playing a lot. And so if we had one more guy to rotate in, that'd be so nice.
Durfee
or somebody else, whoever. Yeah.
Free the guy, man.
Or this is going to be the last time I bring this guy up on the podcast. But imagine if we'd been able to clear Leiatu. Leiatu on this defense was ETF and Braylon.
But even last year with like Jeremiah Martin too, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
if
my God, A&M that would have burned it.
If he had A&M hadn't wasted a year of his eligibility,
that would have been a dangerous front. And I mean, what's crazy too is even still how good Voy is. You know, I'm assuming he probably put on weight in the middle of the season. You know, because they said he was going into this year like 240, 245, and then it was mentioned that he was up to 265, 270. So it seems like he might have put on weight in the season, just based on positional versatility. They needed him back inside. But then he's also too, like, bro, he's so quick off the line.
I know.
Like, it makes plays in the backfield, which a lot of our interior defensive line don't. But what I found cool about the Lance sack is it was almost like, you know, you guys talking about being tired. It was almost like a mulligan, like, let's rush three, drop eight, it's third and something long, or second and something long. Like, we'll just like put these guys out there real quick. Oh, it's a sack. Like, it was hella cool to see, because I think they just rushed three and he just beat his man, bent a corner. And that's the potential you see in a guy like him. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Excited. And, I could be wrong, but I think that was key too, because it was third down, but they're like at the 40. So if they got like 5 or 6 yards, they probably would have gone for it on fourth down. And so, yeah, that sack. Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited. The thing is that what I'm trying to do right now is, you know, like I know what it's like, man. Like going into a game and your previous game, you struggled, and you got a little bit of a sprained ankle, and you know what I mean, it's the toughest people that you're gonna play all tournament, all season, all whatever, and you know, you're in your, you know, team hotel. And, you know, you're overthinking about this, and you're overthinking about that. And then, you know, you're hearing all the negativity about you got beat last week and you got this last week. So my priority this week, man, is just to let a lot of the players know, man, like clean fucking slate, clean slate, ball out. Nobody's thinking about USC. Nobody's thinking about Arizona. Nobody's thinking about the bad play call here. Nobody's thinking about the bad defensive play call there. You know, nobody's thinking about you getting hurt 3 years ago and what. Nobody's thinking about none of that. Clean slate, you know, let's highlight the best of your ability. I know you can play like that's why I posted a thing about Elijah, like, and versus Oregon too. I know you can play at a high level. I know you're a physical player. You know, I know you can play the ball. You just got to believe in yourself. Don't overthink it. Just go out there and show out. So.
Yeah, and the same goes to the guys that, I mean, probably all banged up, but especially the guys that are really banged up, like, you just got to go all out, give it your all, because we're going to have, you know, if we make the playoff, we'll have 3 weeks off. Like, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of time to recover. Like, we don't got to play a game the next week. Put it all out there.
All right, before we do score predictions, offensive player of the game, defensive player of the game.
Ooh. Go ahead, DJ. Go ahead.
From last week?
Nah, this week coming up. It's Friday.
Oh. Oh, damn. I think I'm having some computer difficulties. I'm going out.
Your technology issue happening early, brother.
Wait, what was that?
I said your tech problems happening early this week.
Yeah.
Not yet.
That's all Hood. Hood, you go.
All right, so let's go on offense, man. You know, we've said for the past 4 weeks that, you know, we felt like this game was going to propel either one of these quarterbacks to the Heisman. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick Mike on this one. Right. I feel like it's a real easy pick on O, but he's not, you know, the second half of the season has definitely looked a lot different than the first half of the season. And I think the country in a lot of ways has written him off. And, you know, we saw a little bit of him feeling that, you know what I'm saying, post game. So, you know, the type of dude, you know, with that purple satin do-rag energy, man. You know, the type of dude that won't necessarily hear the noise, but will be driven by it. I won't let it impact him. I think he's going to have a big game, make a statement that he is the top dog, the top quarterback in the conference, top quarterback in the country. And then defensively, one of the bigger positions, I will say, that was extremely important in the win last year and this year was safety play. And not necessarily safety play and coverage, but safety's coming down and making a statement. Safety's coming down and adjusting to play calls that happened in the first quarter, second quarter, first half, and making critical plays. And the person that is in, you know, the person's spot last year, Alex Cook, is Dom Hampton. Yep. So I'm going to need him to be the tone setter. I'm going to need him to, you know, put his body on the line, which he hasn't shied away from, but... some of that controlled aggression. I'm gonna need you in a couple people's faces. Obviously not, you know, soliciting any penalties, but oh yeah. So I'll say Dom Hampton, get involved in a couple shallow routes, letting people know you're there. Oh yeah. Looking for a Michelle Powell type hit.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
All right, I'll make mine just simple. On offense, definitely simple on this side. whoever's lining up against Brandon Dorlus, that's who's going to get it. Whoever, it's Troy, Roger. I know he goes inside too. So whoever's lining up against him on the offensive line, that's who's going to be. And then on defense, the guy who's just been balling out the last few weeks, Carson Bruner. I mean, he has Bucky likes to go outside a lot and outside the tackles and run out there, and Bruner can chase him down. He has that speed. I'm looking forward to seeing him play a lot more than he did last time.
All right. My offensive, I do think Rome is going to go for 100, but I don't think that's going to be the I don't think we're going to see a Reggie 2002 game from Rome. I'd love to see it. But I think what will ultimately make the difference, and I think I saw enough, particularly, you know, if he's had a good week of practice, with what we started to see from the return of J-Mac, the return of the J-Mac last week. I think J-Mac's going to have a bigger game. I think he's going to have a 70 to 90 yard game, including a touchdown where he breaks one, maybe a middle distance, 20, 30, 40 yard catch, in the middle of the field and run down the sideline. That's going to be kind of ultimately the thing that really opens up our offense. And on the defensive side of the ball, with I think probably two, if not maybe 2.5 sacks. Give me Braylon Trice. Man's on a mission.
Come on. I love it, man. Stat game. How about that? How about a stat game? I'll call out something that's not offense or defensive player. Man, Ryan Grubb, man.
Yes. I think he's going to be
in tell you, man, up 11 points. If you get an opportunity to put this team away, I understand you were trying to do it last time with the pass, and we were only off by a little bit. That would have put the game away, a couple of those deep shots.
Yep.
But you're trying to perform for the nation. Do it with physicality. Run at them. Run. Put Dylan's helmet in their chest. Like, we can be meticulous about it. That boy don't fumble. That's okay. Run it down their throats when they're reeling. Make them feel it. That's all. Yep. That's all I got. You ain't gotta, deviate too much from what you do. It's been successful, but I want this to be a, separate yourself. Please separate yourself.
Yep. Agreed. Time to put the hammer down on him in that situation, Hood. Absolutely. I also think I've been calling for it all year. I think we might actually see one this time around. I think we got to see it at least once this season. I got one of those big shots on special teams on kickoff return turns into the ball going the other direction. I'm not saying like a fumble return touchdown, but I think a big shot on kickoff might cause a turnover in this one and that goes in our favor. Score predictions. You want to go first, or do you want me to?
For this game, or are we or around the conference? Oh, well, I was gonna say conference. That was stupid.
We can't go around the conference. We could go around the conference championships if we wanted to, but
that'd be stupid podding.
What?
I was like, can that be on like a stupid pod section?
All I gotta say about that is, let's go Hawkeyes! In that respect, right.
Let's go Hawkeyes, man!
And shouts to GC buddies, Hawk guy Matt and Hawk chick. Hope you cool. all both are doing well and get to enjoy your team winning a game this weekend. But no, I was talking about the matchup Friday night.
I actually think. I think this is definitely going to be a much more defensive game than the prior one. You have both coaches that understand each other's tendencies. I think Oregon will adjust the most on offense only because, last time you had to accommodate for the crowd. So I don't think you get to catch, our team off guard with a lot of the hurry up, muddy huddle type stuff. You know, you probably will go a little hurry up. It does, you know, fluster, you know, our defense a little bit, but I just think both sides are going to be much more prepared for each other on offense and defense. So I will go, 31.
All right. I'm assuming Huskies.
Oh yeah. Huskies. Now the reason why, and what's funny is the reason why I was thinking about this earlier, and I was like, how do you get to 27? You know, you score 3 touchdowns, you kick 2 field goals. But I don't think that's how it's manufactured. I think you score 4 touchdowns. And, you know, that aggression, you know, bites Dan in the ass at some point, too, going for 2. So,
and we stop it. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I think the way this one plays out is unlike the last 2 years. I don't think this is a Peyton Henry make to win it. Or as it was for us last year. So I don't think this is a Grady Gross kick to win it for us. I don't think it's a Camden Lewis kick that wins it or goes astray to, you know, decide kind of the game one way or the other. I think this is a late touchdown game. I actually think that I'm kind of leaning toward there being a little bit of maybe even a few more points in this one, given the what I think is a pretty fast track at Allegiant Stadium. And I think that that late touchdown that wins it is going to be scored by Washington. So I got this one. I think I'm going to go 41-35. That's how I see this one going. And I truly think it could be a 35-34 Ducks game, and we score late within the last couple of minutes. I'm not saying it's the, you know, the at the very, very end of the game. But I think it's late, sometime late in the fourth quarter, that we put a go ahead touchdown up to claim the last Pac-12 conference championship.
I remember the last prediction for the Oregon game, and I told you guys I really hesitated on making it a double digit win. And, you know, we saw the fact that that could have happened, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I definitely have the same vibes here. I don't think our home field advantage played as much of a factor as a lot of people may have felt. So being on that fast track at Allegiant, I don't think it's going to have any much difference. If anything, you know, we're coming up and we're, I'm not going to say stopping a lot of those, you know, short passes or check downs and stuff, but I definitely think there's going to be a lot less missed tackles in this game, just mm-hmm. off the strength of the health of the defense. Yep. And then the familiarity with the players and, you know, so I definitely think both sides are going to be a little bit more locked in and tuned to personnel. Yep. But where I do think we have a huge advantage is the fact that we do have everybody healthy and not everybody played in that previous game.
Yep.
So I think that's the primary shock value. If you're looking for anything around in this game, that's the primary shock value. You couldn't handle Giles. Well, now you got Giles and Jalen. You know what I mean?
And Jeremy. Who went out midway through the second half of that game.
Yeah. There's just a lot more curveballs on offense, a lot more curveballs on defense, a lot more experience for the younger guys on defense. So when put in a certain type of situation, you know, there's a lot more to expect. So. Oh, yeah, I got the dub, though, for sure.
All right. Any final thoughts on anything? Or
Shout out to the transfer portal. That's about it, man. If you want to be a dog, going, you know, pull up on me. Yes. Pull up on newly promoted
congratulations manager, to Courtney the general manager, Courtney Morgan.
Come on.
If you want to be a dog, get in his DMs.
Hit them DMs up.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Bow down.
You can support this podcast at podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/soundthesirenpod.uw/support. Thanks. Go Dogs.